The Patriot and the Preacher, where politics and religion do mix, starts right now. Here are your hosts.
And welcome, everybody, to The Patriot and the Preacher. I'm your Patriot, Mark Anthony.
And I'm your Preacher, Ben Kinslow, and welcome to the program. And boy, do we have some great guests on the show today.
Yes, we do. So this is a question, as our author is going to address, that has been going on for 3,000 years. We have a great guest, Bruce Feiler, who's a 6-time New York Times bestseller, has a brand new book out called The First Love Story, Adam, Eve, and Us. And so Bruce has gone on a road trip, as he put it, to talk about that first love and how it affects us today, Ben. So I'm really, really excited to talk to him.
So am I. I got some questions I want to ask him about that Adam and Eve thing. So we'll see what goes down there.
We're going to talk to him about that. It's going to be interesting because he was just on Good Morning America. He's been on Fox and Friends. He was on The View. He's got a lot to say about this. And so I think our listeners are going to enjoy it. And we have a good friend that's been on the show many times, Wayne Allen Root. Wayne's going to join us as well. We're excited to have him with us. It's going to be a good show.
Yeah, I am waiting for that. He's always got a lot of stuff to say, and he doesn't hesitate to get it out there either. So
yeah.
Bring it on, that Wayne Allen.
He told me earlier, before we came on the air, that Wayne has done over 10,000 interviews between the time.
Yep.
So this should be interesting. Wayne definitely has a lot to say. We're excited to have him with us. And so we want to thank everybody for joining us. You know what, Ben? One of the things that is important, as we talk to our listeners all across the country, is that we need to be vigilant about this country, especially when we send our prayers and our thoughts out to the UK after what happened. More than ever, we have got to be vigilant about protecting this nation and what it stands for.
You know, that's absolutely true, Mark. And one of the things I think sometimes people forget is that the founding fathers had in mind a country that was the responsibility of the people who lived in this country. In other words, they were not, quote, putting the government in charge like a monarchy. They were saying, hey, this is your country and you are responsible for what goes on in your country. And we're going to bring the government or the oversight of this from the top all the way down to the local communities. So we are responsible for what happens in our society, not, quote, the government, unquote.
That's right. That's exactly right. And so, as former President Obama said, if you like your country, you can keep your country, right? So so we've got to stand up. There's a lot going on in this nation right now, and we are grateful that we're able to talk to everybody right now about what's important to this nation and the foundation that it was built on. That's why it's called The Patriot and the Preacher. Without our founders and their faith, we wouldn't be here today, Ben.
That's exactly right, man. And I want to make sure people understand we're not talking about religion here. And that's what people make the mistake of thinking. When anybody brings up anything about these moral principles, they think, well, you're trying to force your religion on it. It's not about religion. It's about transcendent principles that apply equally to every person. And it doesn't make a difference what, quote, religion you adhere to, as long as you abide by the principles established by the founding fathers. And those principles say there are certain things that are acceptable behavior and certain things that are not. And if you violate those principles, then you should be punished, and rightly so.
That's right. And not only should you be punished, but you'll suffer from the chaos that ensues, right?
Well, we the ones that suffer from the chaos that
right.
ensues.
That's right.
And if we were to put these guys where they belonged when they did something, there wouldn't be any chaos.
Yep, exactly. We're going to be right back. There's a lot to talk about with the news. So much is going on that I wanted to throw this out there, Ben. You'll smile, but then you'll wonder what is going on. Susan Rice, does everybody remember her? Ben, do you remember who Susan Rice is?
Whip it on me again.
Okay, all right. Susan Rice was the former Obama administration official that days after Benghazi got on the Sunday morning talk shows and told everybody that what happened in Benghazi, ladies and gentlemen, was because of a video. Well, guess what? She has emerged from the Obama administration. She's out there and she is lecturing President Trump about making false statements.
Yeah. She ought to know about them.
She certainly does. So I guess it takes one to know one. We're going to be, I can't even believe That is unbelievable. You know, sometimes the headlines that are out there remind me of a skit on Saturday Night Live. I can't believe that Susan Rice is lecturing our presidents about making false statements. But that's the world we live in now. I can't. That's unreal. We're going to be right back with the news. Don't go anywhere. I'm Mark Anthony, your patriot.
I'm Ben Kinsler, your preacher. Stay tuned.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
Hey, everyone. It's Mark Anthony. I know I keep talking about my pillow, but that's because it's truly changed my life. I've had over 7 spinal surgeries on my neck and back, and I've never been able to get a good night's sleep. But now, after trying MyPillow, I am getting the best night's sleep I've ever had before. Trust me, MyPillow has made a believer out of me. Now, you may say, what makes MyPillow so great? Well, MyPillow lets you adjust it to your exact needs, regardless of your sleep position, and it stays that way all night long. Look, this company has a 10-year warranty guaranteed not to go flat, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Think about it. MyPillow has an amazing offer for our listeners. If you call 1-800-519-2222 and use the promo code MARK, you can take advantage of Mike's 4-pack special. You'll get 40% off of 2 MyPillow premium pillows and 2 Go Anywhere pillows. It's an amazing deal. And on top of that, you get free shipping of any order over $100. Call right now, 800-519-2222, and use the promo code MARK. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain with the 60-day money-back guarantee and free shipping. Trust me, MyPillow will make a believer out of you. And you know that jingle.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Don't forget to call 1-800-519-2222 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code MARK. And we're back with the Patriot and the Preacher. You know, Ben, everybody's been watching the confirmation hearings, and Senator Al Franken, who I still look as his Stuart Smalley from Saturday Night Live, has told everybody that he understands and appreciates that the late Justice Scalia's love for the Constitution. But he went on, the document that he revered looks very different from the one that I've sworn to defend. So I guess in Al Franken's world, Ben, there's 2 constitutions.
Yeah, we ought to demand that he show us the Constitution that he's reading from and see if it agrees with the Constitution that the founding fathers had in mind when they established this great nation. Because one of the things that happens is the media doesn't hold these people accountable, responsible for what they do and say, and that's what they're supposed to be doing.
That's right. That's right. And right now, when people like Al Franken or Maxine Waters or Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer say something, they're just left to say what they want to say instead of the truth. Nobody calls them on that.
Exactly. I mean, can you imagine somebody saying something as patently idiotic as we have to pass this bill to make it law before we find out what's in it? Are you serious?
I know. Imagine that. That quote you just gave came from the former Speaker of the House, right?
Correct mundo.
Yeah. So, as we move right along here, I need to point something out. There's a lot of people, Ben, that are so sorely misinformed about what's really going on out there. President Trump, as we all know, made a claim that the former president was wiretapping and listening in on his conversations. It turns out that he was right, not just because of what we've seen from reports from Truthfeed and other reporters out there that have been on there. Circa have reported this as well. But what we know for a fact is, let me ask the audience, how is it that it was leaked out that General Michael Flynn was having conversations with the Russian ambassador? That came out because of the wiretapping. Right. And so what's going on right now, we even have Bob Woodward, who is a self-avowed liberal, claiming that people from the Obama administration, Ben, are going to go to jail over this. And I just want to say this. What eventually is going to come out is probably going to make Watergate pale in comparison.
Well, I heard and hope it does. So, Mark, I think we sometimes forget that, and I know I keep bringing this up like a repeat, but the founding fathers had in mind an informed public that could make intelligent decisions about their public servants. In other words, the people that they put there to serve them, and that they would hold them accountable to the same high standards that we were expected and we are expected to uphold, which is why the founding fathers based these principles on the biblical truths, not the religious aspect, but on the biblical truths. And that's what we should get from our people who are sent there to serve and represent us.
That's exactly right, Ben. That's right. And so we've got to demand better, and we've got to hold these people accountable. You know what? Saying that the CIA and NSA already does this is not good enough. The very fact, Ben, that the former president was using, and we've got the headlines to prove it, that the former Attorney General Loretta Lynch signed off on these warrants. The very fact that the former administration was using intelligence services to spy on a campaign and then an incoming president should make everybody stand up and have cause for concern. It just should. That's not, yep, that's not the America that our founding fathers put together, is it?
No, absolutely not. It was the people, government of the people, for the people, by the people.
Bye.
We need to keep it firmly fixed in mind.
That's exactly right. We're going to be right back. Wayne Allyn Root is coming up. We can't wait to talk to him. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hey, everyone. It's Mark Anthony. I know I keep talking about MyPillow, but that's because it's truly changed my life. I've had over 7 spinal surgeries on my neck and back, and I've never been able to get a good night's sleep. But now, after trying MyPillow, I am getting the best night's sleep I've ever had before. Trust me, MyPillow has made a believer out of me. Now, you may say, what makes MyPillow so great? Well, MyPillow lets you adjust it to your exact needs, regardless of your sleep position, and it stays that way all night long. Look, this company has a 10-year warranty, guaranteed not to go flat, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Think about it. MyPillow has an amazing offer for our listeners. If you call 1-800-519-2222 and use the promo code MARK, you can take advantage of Mike's 4-pack special. You'll get 40% off of 2 MyPillow premium pillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows. It's an amazing deal. And on top of that, you get free shipping of any order over $100. Call right now, 800-519-2222, and use the promo code MARK. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain with the 60-day money-back guarantee and free shipping. Trust me, MyPillow will make a believer out of you. And you know that jingle.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Don't forget to call 1-800-519-2222 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code MARK.
Hi, this is Star Parker, and I love The Patriot and the Preacher, where politics and religion do mix.
Born in the USA, I was born in the USA.
We're back with The Patriot. The Preacher joining us today is a good friend of ours, Wayne Allyn Root. Wayne, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you, man.
Hey, Mark. How are you? Great to be back on.
It's good to have you back on. So, Wayne, I want to get right to it. The revelation that came from Congressman Nunes, in a lot of ways, vindicates President Trump. What do you think is going to happen as this starts to unfold?
Look, it all started in 2012. I'd been watching the evening news my entire life, actually the NBC evening news my entire life since I was like 5 years old. I'm 55 now. So for half a century, I was watching the evening news first with my dad and then with my own kids and then my grown kids. And I never thought the news was horribly biased, a slight liberal bias, but not terrible. And I watched NBC because I thought Dan Rather and CBS were more biased. So I thought I was getting relatively fair news. And then the media went wild on Mitt Romney. Everything Obama did bad, they mentioned nothing about it, or they sugarcoated it, or they made it look good. And everything Mitt Romney did, if he said one word out of place, they made it to the biggest deal in the world. and they ripped him at the start of the news, like it was the biggest news story in the entire country. You know, you could have a terrorist attack, you could have people living in poverty, you could have a thousand terrible things, but if Mitt Romney said a word out of place, that was the lead story on NBC Evening News in 2012. So I just realized at that point that the media is out of control. Well, now they've gone to a level that makes that look like, you know, if one's murder, that's pickpocketing. It's that little then. Now it's murder. You know, now it's they're trying to murder Donald Trump. So when you ask me, did Nunes, did he, you know, now make Trump look smart? Did he make Trump look honest? Did he back up Trump? Yes, he did. Will the media care? No, they won't even run it. They'll run 100 stories. They'll switch to Russia now, and they won't mention anymore that Donald Trump was right and he was being wiretapped. Instead, they'll talk about why he was wiretapped, because he's in collusion with Russia and they stole the election. No matter what you do, the media is so crooked and so fraudulent, they will never leave Trump alone. It'll be four horrible years. It's never going to end, and Trump just has to beat him, just like he did in the election. You know, 18-month campaign where they ripped him to shreds, and he beat him every time. He knows how to defeat the media. He's going to have to do it again, but this will never slow down, never end, and no Democrat or no media, you know I repeat myself, Democrats are the media, they will never, ever admit they were wrong and Trump was right about anything.
Well, listen, Wayne, let me ask you this. The founding fathers had in mind at the very beginning freedom of the press, because they intended for the press to be able to say, you know, tell the American people what was happening. What has happened to that concept of free press telling the American people the truth of the matter?
Well, I mean, look, there's two separate issues. Good question. Two separate issues. Number one, do we want to continue to have freedom of the press? And the answer is yes. You need a free operating press. You can't ever stifle the press. On the other hand, you can't allow the press to slander, libel, and lie and commit fraud against the American people. Two completely different things. You're allowed to tell the truth. You're not allowed to make up the truth, which isn't the truth anymore. It's a lie. You're not allowed to make up stories. You're supposed to report the news. You're not supposed to be the one making the news and choosing the news. And that's what the press has become. So it's a very tough, I guess the right word is conundrum, you know, what you do with this, because I never wanted anything but a free press. So I'm not saying do away with the press. I don't remember saying do away with the press. But we should have the right to sue them when they lie. And right now the laws are written in such a way they can get away with almost any lie in the world, and nobody can ever do anything about it, you know? And that, by the way, that's what happened to me over the last 8 years, okay? Here's the guy. You're talking to a guy, Wayne Root, who was one of the biggest critics in America of Barack Obama. But the issue I was always critical of was his politics. I never got near, as an example, his birth or his birth certificate. Never in my life. Do you know I did 10,000-plus interviews in Obama's 8 years? I mean, that's got to be some sort of record in the entire United States. The
wow.
Number one most prolific critic of Obama in the media, and not one of them ever mentioned Obama's birth or his birth certificate. I never got near the issue. To me, I knew nothing about it. I don't know where he was born. I was born just a few days away from him. Same year and just a few days away birth date. He's August 3rd, I believe, and I'm July 20th. So we were both born in 1961. I was a baby. I don't know where he was born. I've never gotten near the issue. Do you know that I've been called a birther nonstop for the last six of the last 8 years by the media? Because when the liberal media wants to destroy you, they just make stuff up. So I never discussed his birth, but they called me a birther. So when one reporter, one particularly heinous, disgusting reporter in Nevada, did that, and Rachel Maddow then picked it up on TV and did a 10-minute segment on Wayne Root as a birther, I asked my lawyer to go threaten this guy with a lawsuit. Do you know what his response was?
What was it?
He said, of course Wayne Root's a birther, because you think birther has something to do with discussing Obama's birth. But actually, it's the definition of anyone who questions Obama in any way.
Wow.
So now, you know, this is the media making up whatever they want, any definition they want to avoid being sued. And now you forward to today. Who are the birthers? The Democratic Party. Every Democrat out there is a birther because they're questioning Trump in any way. If that's the definition that you could stretch to make someone a birther, if you question the background or anything about a president, you're a birther. Well, then what do you call the people who are making up these lies about Russia and Trump, and the people making up the lies about Trump's taxes, which he turned out to pay $38 million a year? Maybe they should be called taxers. Maybe they should be called rushers. Rushers for the Russian ones. But these people are out of their minds, you know? I never even brought up Obama's birth, and they malign me. Can you imagine what should be said about all these crazy, loony, unhinged Democrats that ought to be in a rubber room wearing a straitjacket who talk all day long about the election was stolen by Russia when the only thing that won the election was, I wrote the book on it, Angry White Male.
Mm-hmm.
Millions and millions of angry white males came out to vote and elected Donald Trump, and none of them knew anything about Russia. And how about this one? No one's bringing up that all Democrats talk about Russia hack, Russia hack. Number one, we found out from a WikiLeaks dump 2 weeks ago that the CIA is expert at hacking anyone or anything in the world and then blaming it on Russia. So how do you know it was Russia when it might have been Obama's CIA that did the hacks on Hillary and then tried to pin it on Trump? This things like this happen all the time. Ever watch Homeland? Everything is not what it's supposed to be. So this is so ludicrous. No one knows that Russia hacked. No one knows that. No one knows that Trump was involved with the Russian hack. No one knows that the hack changed one vote in the election. No one knows that it influenced anyone's vote. And everyone's taking off the real topic, which is what did they find in those hacks? They found that Donna Brazile was cheating and handing questions to Hillary. They found that Hillary and her staff are a bunch of disgusting people who demean the average American, even the average Democrat. They found that Hillary and her aides commit crimes. Nobody cares about any of that. They only care that she was hacked. Well, she was hacked because she had an email server in her closet, in her bathroom, which broke the law of the United States. But of course, the FBI couldn't prosecute her for that because the deputy FBI director, McCabe, who was in charge of Hillary's investigation, his wife was running for office as a Democrat in Virginia and collecting $800,000 from Governor McAuliffe, Hillary's best friend. That's not a bribe, now, is it?
No.
That nobody's talking about. Nobody's talking about that. We have a crazy banana republic country, boys. This is like a Latin banana republic where the media is now owned by the Democratic Party.
Absolutely, and you're right. A good example of that is that they're still focused on Paul Manafort, but nobody wants to talk about the uranium sale that Hillary approved to the Russians. There's a Russian connection, right? Nobody.
Right.
No, yeah.
That, and also, remember, no one's more important than your campaign manager, so they're talking about Paul Manafort, who for literally like 2 months was involved with Trump's campaign, but they're not talking about the fact that John Podesta was Hillary's campaign manager, and his brother, Tony Podesta, took hundreds of thousands from the biggest bank in Russia, SureBank, to lobby America and try and get sanctions taken away from SureBank. And also, by the way, I think last year he took in $16 million as a lobbyist, almost all of it from foreign governments, and his brother's running Hillary's campaign. There's plenty of scandals out there, but they all belong to the Democrats. Media doesn't cover them.
Not even close.
Good question. Let me ask you this, because you've just come out with your latest book, and I'm sure you are now fighting out the charge of being a racist after titling your book Angry White Male. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, you know what's funny is, first of all, you can't be successful in life without understanding branding. And branding means everything you do, the title has to be memorable. It has nothing to do with racism. It has to do with a great title that everyone remembers. Kind of hard to forget Angry White Male. And so that book wasn't named Angry White Male because there's a single word in it against black people or Latino people or anybody else. The book was named Angry White Male because I was born white and I'm angry. If I was black, it would be called Angry Black Male. If I was Hispanic, it would be called Angry Latino Male. The book was literally just about me and my views and how angry I am at the way I'm being treated and how basically the white middle class has been treated for the last 8 years under Obama. And that didn't have to do with black or white, because guess what? Pew Research reports that the middle class, about 79% white, but also that means 21% black middle class, Latino middle class, Asian middle class, Jewish middle class, whatever term you want to use, middle class people, in my opinion, were crapped on and persecuted and intimidated and literally stolen from for 8 years by the Democratic administration under Barack Obama. The majority happened to be white middle class, but he really didn't care. It was about money, not color. And so, you know, if you had money, they wanted it. They stole it. They raised taxes. They put in massive regulations. And most importantly, climate change and Obamacare. Those were the ways they took money and redistributed it from middle class people to all the poor of the world so they could get the poor to loyally vote for Barack Obama and the Democratic Party. That's what the book was about. It had nothing to do with black and white. It had to do with middle class getting literally raped and pillaged by the Democratic Party.
Yeah. Hey, Wayne, before we go, I wanted to get your take on this. We all know what happened in the UK in that terrorist attack. And President Trump just instituted the most recent travel ban. But we have half this country sympathizing with the group of people that wish to destroy us. What is it going to take to get them to start thinking about America first and their own safety?
Well, you know, again, I wouldn't say half the people in America sympathize necessarily with the Muslim radical Muslim cause, but I do think half the people in America are naive and ignorant, and their voting patterns help the Muslim radical cause, maybe without them realizing it, or maybe without them realizing, you know, that it's coming to America or that they're involved in it. I don't think any of them know it. I don't think anyone wakes up in the morning in America and goes, gee, I love ISIS. I sympathize with them. But I do think when you vote for the Obamas of the world and the Hillary Clintons of the world, and, you know, you love the Elizabeth Warrens of the world and the John Kerrys of the world and the Bernie Sanders of the world, you're voting for very naive people who always go against Israel, who always take the side of those poor, poor Palestinians or those poor, poor Muslims, and who are always supportive of open borders and letting in literally millions if they could. If Hillary had gotten in office, she was going to be twice as bad as Obama, letting in millions of refugees, just like Angela Merkel did in Germany. And that is the death of Germany. Germany's done. Not tomorrow. The next 20 years, they'll survive. Maybe the next 40 years. But 50 to 100 years from now, Germany will recognize that Angela Merkel destroyed the future of their country. You know, and they let in 1.5 million Muslim refugees. Many of them are ISIS fighters. Many of them are terrorists. Many of them are rapists. All of them want welfare. They will bring down that country. They will each have six or eight babies. And Germany's done in the future. I don't want that happening to America. And there's no question Democrat voters, you know, are supporting policies that will encourage that happening in the future in America. I don't want it. So they're not sympathetic per se. They're just very naive. They don't know what they're doing. They have no clue that their votes are encouraging bad people to come to America who want to bomb us, kill us, take cars and, you know, drive them into crowds, murder people with machetes, with guns, whatever it may be. You know, I don't want those people coming to America. So I don't think the answer is to ban Muslims. I think Donald Trump has the exact answer. First of all, you are very careful, extreme vet every person that comes in, and you make sure that certain specific countries that really are bad for terrorism and really don't know how to vet their citizens, you just can't let those people in at all until you figure out whether there's some sort of system in place that will tell you who's the good guys and who's the bad guys. And last but not least, visas are even more important than who you let in permanently. Is visas. People come in temporarily, and they overstay the visa. That's the number one way bad guys are coming and staying in America. So Trump wants to get a handle on all of that, and that's good for America, and it's good for even liberals. It's good for even American Muslims. If you're here and you're Muslim, God, you should thank God for Donald Trump, because if he were to let in a bad person, and that person is Muslim, and that person commits a horrific terrorist attack, Muslims are going to bear the brunt of that. Doesn't anybody understand that Donald Trump's actually being good for American Muslims? You know, it's the same thing I always argued about Mexicans. Donald Trump wasn't against Mexicans. He wanted a wall. That wall would keep out Mexicans so that the people in America who are American Mexicans would have a better life. They'll keep their job. They'll have higher income. And if a Mexican gets in and there's a crime wave, who gets blamed? Mexicans. Is there racism? Sure. So when you keep out bad people, guess what? It's better for American Mexicans. Nobody seems to understand this. If you're inside Fortress America, Donald Trump is good for you.
Hey, you know what? Sounds like I'm an angry white male. Where can I get your book, man?
See, I told you. It's got nothing to do with white. I just talk to people. I can't hide that. It's got nothing to do with white. But you can get my book at Amazon.com, of course, or any fine bookstore, Angry White Male, or go to my website, read more about it, RootsForAmerica.com, R-O-O-T. My last name is, you know, Wayne Root, R-O-O-T. So RootsForAmerica.com.
Hey, Wayne Root. Always good to have you, man. Thanks for coming
Always
on.
Always great to be on. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye. God bless, Wayne. This is The Patriot, The Preacher. We'll be right back. That was Wayne Allen Root. Hey, everyone. It's Mark Anthony. I know I keep talking about MyPillow, but that's because it's truly changed my life. I've had over 7 spinal surgeries on my neck and back, and I've never been able to get a good night's sleep. But now, after trying MyPillow, I am getting the best night's sleep I've ever had before. Trust me, MyPillow has made a believer out of me. Now, you may say, what makes MyPillow so great? Well, MyPillow lets you adjust it to your exact needs, regardless of your sleep position, and it stays that way all night long. Look, this company has a 10-year warranty guaranteed not to go flat, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Think about it. MyPillow has an amazing offer for our listeners. If you call 1-800-519-2222 and use the promo code MARK, you can take advantage of Mike's 4-pack special. You'll get 40% off of 2 MyPillow premium pillows and 2 Go Anywhere pillows. It's an amazing deal. And on top of that, you get free shipping of any order over $100. Call right now, 800-519-2222. 2022 and use the promo code Mark. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain with the 60-day money-back guarantee and free shipping. Trust me, MyPillow will make a believer out of you.
And you know that jingle.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Don't forget to call 1-800-519-2222 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Mark.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
And welcome back to The Patriot and the Preacher. Joining us today is New York Times best-selling author. He is a brand new book that was just released this week called The First Love Story, Adam, Eve, and Us. Bruce Feiler, welcome to the program.
It's great to be with you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you. So, Bruce, I've watched a lot of your interviews. I did some reading on this book. So why has the story of Adam and Eve been at the heart of every conversation about men and women for the last 3,000 years?
Because there's a lot of truth and wisdom to it is the short answer.
Okay.
Now I'll give you the long answer.
Okay.
So, look, I grew up in Savannah, Georgia, and I spent most of my 20s traveling around the world, entering different cultures. I wrote a book about Japan and a book about I was a circus clown. And I decided somewhere in this that I should be more conversant with the Bible. And so I took the Bible off my shelf, put it by my bed. I hadn't read it since I was a kid, which meant I hadn't really read it. And it sat there for 2 years. And then I went to visit an old friend who was living in Jerusalem, and my friend took me to this spot overlooking the city and said, that's the spot where Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac. And I thought, whoa, I mean, these stories are happening in real places that you can touch and visit. And I had this idea that I wanted to travel along the route and read the Bible along the way. So I did that, wrote a book called Walking the Bible. As you know, came out 16 years ago this month, actually. And spent a year and a half on the bestseller list. I hosted a show on PBS. And I've spent most of the last 20 years essentially trying to relate stories from the Bible to what's happening in our lives today. So let's fast forward a little bit. I've since gotten married. I have a working wife. I have adolescent twin daughters. And so I spend most of my time talking about how men and women relate to each other, usually unfavorably on my account. But we all struggle with this. The rules are changing. Everybody knows this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, most of the time people thought, let's talk about the newest science or technology. But as someone who spends a lot of time around the past and the Bible, I'm like, there must be some wisdom from the past that's worth preserving. So a few years ago, we're in Rome. I take my children to the Sistine Chapel and they look up. And one of them says, well, where am I in that picture? And the other one says, wait, isn't that Eve under God's arm? And I realized, oh my gosh, the story of Adam and Eve, this has been at the heart of conversations about men, women, sexuality. And if maybe there's something in there that can help me untangle the knot about relationships today, deepen my own relationship, help my daughters who are just starting, you know, to tiptoe toward dating. And I spent the last few years basically going on the greatest biblical road trip of all time, from the Garden of Eden in Iraq to the footsteps of the Bible in Jerusalem to the Sistine Chapel to Hollywood, basically trying to say, what can the first relationship tell us about relationships?
According to your book, Adam and Eve, they introduced the idea of love into the world. So how do they continue to shape our deepest feelings today? We know what the Bible says, but how does the actual story of Adam and Eve relate to our feelings about relationships, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, you've spent your life trying to answer those kinds of questions, and I think it's a very real and powerful question. And the first thing you discover is that the story itself is beautiful story. It's an amazing story, and it's not how we remember it, right? In Genesis 1, they're created in God's image, man and woman, they're entirely equal. It begins with equality. And the story has a back and forth. Adam takes the lead sometimes. Eve takes the lead sometimes. Eve eats the fruit, but then she comes back and has a relationship with Adam. Adam chooses companionship. They leave Eden. They could break up. They stay together. They have two children. One of them murders the other. They could separate. The Bible suggests that they separate. They come back together, have Seth. He, of course, then goes on to fulfill the commandment to be fruitful and multiply. And all of us in the biblical story come from that third child. So there's balance. There's resilience. But what happened? What happened was organized religion got a hold of the story. And by organized religion, in those days, it meant almost exclusively men. And they basically used the story to dump on women. And I think that Adam and Eve, but especially Eve, have been victims of the greatest character assassination the world has ever known. And so today, when, you know, who among us can deny that men and women stand equal before God today? Well, we have Adam and Eve to thank for that, and we have a rewriting of this story to find the equality that's in the original story that often got kind of overshadowed for many, many centuries as, you know, basically men tried to use the story to keep women down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if Adam hadn't listened to Eve and eaten off the fruit, which God told him not to, how about that?
But let's remember, what is the fruit? It's the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and bad. She's seeking wisdom. She's seeking autonomy. And by the way, let's remember, God, when he kicks them out of Eden, what does he do? The last thing he did, no one remembers this in the story. He covers them in protective garments. He says to them, I'm still going to be with you. Remember, the first commandment God gives is be fruitful and multiply. He needs them to succeed. And they do succeed, and I believe he's fulfilling God's original commandment, and this story is a success. That's why. Look, why does this matter? I mean, this could just be a story. It matters because this story has been at the foundation of Western civilization for 3,000 years. That's 30 centuries. And if we have this story as a failure, it kind of gives us all permission to fail in our relationships. I think it matters this be a success. And what I've seen with the first love story, as it's now been out, I literally just came. I'm talking to you after having come been on The View, surrounded by five women at that table on ABC in a room full of 120 women. And it matters to women because they're saying, we want to reclaim our spirituality. We don't want to just outsource it to men. We want to have an equal say.
Mm-hmm. But this is something interesting that I've heard you mention. So now, and this could be, I think, tell us, this could be related to present day. Now, Eve, all the way back then, had a need for independence. And so, so how...
I think the story is very powerful. I mean, I don't know if, you know, I've been married almost 14 years, right? And so mm-hmm. anybody who's been in, whether you've been on a, you know, your second date, or you've been married for 14 years, or someone emailed me this morning about they've been married 40 years and how much they care about Adam and Eve. What the story has is this mix of independence and interdependence. Okay? Adam... You know, Eve is created from Adam. By the way, it's not his rib. It's his side. They stand side by side. The rib was a misinterpretation used to show that's a small, insignificant bone, so women are small and insignificant. Not true. It's the side. So Eve is created from Adam, but Adam clings to her. Let's remember, Adam takes one look at her in the story, and she's like, she's the one. I mean, he's ecstatic, right? The two are naked and no shame. Mm-hmm. You know, they're bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. I don't think I need to spell out how sexual that is, right? They are completely together. But Eve wants independence. She doesn't want to be second fiddle. So she goes off. She eats the fruit. And Milton, in Paradise Lost, there's this great moment where she says, hey, I should keep this fruit for myself. It would be a win for the female sex. By the way, my Georgia accent's coming out when I do that. But anyway, like, it could be a win for the female sex. She says, you know what? Oh, so dear, I love Adam. I can't live without him. So she goes back. She gives it to Adam. He's got a dilemma. He knows that he's not supposed to eat the fruit. Should he pick duty or companionship? Well, God says it's not right for humans to be alone. He picks Eve. They're bound together. It's a great love moment. Okay, they're in it together. Then they leave, and then, well, what are they going to do now, right? They could separate. There's no guarantee they stay together. They forgive each other. Anybody in a relationship knows people make mistakes.
Right.
You've got to have forgiveness. Then Cain and Abel. Cain murders Abel. Then what are they going to do? We all think, by the way, it's interesting. I talked to the people who did the research. We all think losing a child is bad for your marriage. Turns out this woman in Oregon, she tracked 300 people who had lost a child in Mount St. Helens. Only 12 broke up. What happened? Tell the story. You take care of yourself initially, and then you reach across to your partner and say, you know what? We got to do this together. Love is a story we tell with another person. That idea begins in the Bible. We should give it.
But wait a minute. If God says don't do something, and your spouse says we don't care what God says, but here's what we need to do. How do you respond to that? What do you do in a situation like that?
Well, let's first of all say that God says be fruitful and multiply, right? That's the first commandment.
Sure.
The whole story needs them to have children, or in the biblical story, none of us is here right now. Well, they disobey, okay? So is that sin? Okay, you could say it's sin. There is clear disobeying going on, but what does God say is going to happen? Death is going to come into the world. Eve does not die, actually, nor does Adam die. There's kind of ambiguity there. And God is upset, kicks him out of Eden, but maybe he never wanted us to be in paradise. Maybe he wanted us to go and figure it out. Maybe he wanted longevity. Because I said, as they leave, he protects them. He says, I'm going to be with you. And in fact, he stays with them. The text is very clear. God is involved in the making of the children of Cain and Abel. So the story, there's disagreement, by the way. I mean, I don't know, you know, what your relationship status is. You know, I probably upset my spouse three or four times already, you know. So, and she's going to want an apology when she comes home. So, yeah, we have to deal with the fact that our spouses disappoint us. That's part of it. And what Adam and Eve show us, and I'm, you know, talking about lessons for today, you were asking about earlier, is, you know what the social scientists tell us? The key to a long-term relationship is being able to heal a rupture.
Right.
Being able to mend a broken heart, being able to come back after a setback. So, yeah, here's the story saying to us, yeah, they both had problems, and they were able to reconcile. It's the opposite of the Hollywood. The Hollywood version is like, oh, you make a choice, and you live happily ever after. Well, hello? That's not true for anybody.
No.
But what this story is showing is that love is not a choice you make once. It's a choice you make over and over and over again.
Right, exactly. So when we're talking about these lessons and how we can look at that, the oldest relationship that we know, Adam and Eve,
yeah.
When, as far, you know, as far as relationship status, Bruce, so I'm dating right now. The Patriot isn't married. And so what are some of the things that I can learn as I'm out there in the dating world? What should I know? How can I model my dating life as I'm, you know, I hope someday I have that, you know, aha moment when I see that woman and say, she's the one. How can I, and the audience that's listening right now, how can they learn from this book as they're out there in the dating world?
Well, that's, of course, what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to come up advice for me who's been married for a long time, for my children who's starting to date, anybody who's out there dating. Here's what I would tell you. First of all, you're not going to find the answer in your phone. You're not going to find the answer on social media. Ultimately, we're talking about face-to-face contact and the power of that. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two, what we learn from social science, that happiness is other people. Relationship. We are called to be in relationship. It's the first thing God says about the humans in the Bible. It's not right for humans to be alone. So this is a hard thing, but it's a really important. To me, it comes back to story. The story of Adam and Eve is the greatest story ever told. Okay, I call my book The First Love Story because of the love that we've been talking about here. Also because it is a story. Love is a story we tell with another person, and that's my advice to you. We each have our own stories that we tell about ourselves. That's the first story in a way. This story, the love story, is the second story. It kind of lives on top of that. So you got to get your own story, mm-hmm. You know, you got to know who you are, and then you got to realize, okay, I'm going to tell a story with this person that I'm dating. Adam and Eve are the first to realize that we need an I, but we also need a we. And by the way, look at them, all the other heroes of the Bible, you know, Abraham, Moses, David, Jesus, Paul, they're all singles. Adam and Eve are the only ones that are a double. That's how we remember them. Not Adam, not Eve, Adam and Eve. There's the first joint byline. So that's my advice to you. See your relationship as a story. And like any story, there's going to be conflict, there's going to be good days, there's going to be bad days. When you have a bad day, write a new chapter in your story. Keep the story moving forward. Love is a story that we're constantly rewriting while we're in the middle of it.
Well, what happens when you get to the New Testament? You find things in the scripture that says, let the wives be subject to their husbands and all things, and the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. How do you handle that?
I think that, you know, one of the fascinating things to me about religion, as someone who spent 20 years, made two primetime series for PBS and written a bunch of books about it, is that nothing was more discriminatory against women than organized religion. And yet, exactly at this moment, that religion has become voluntary. Who could blame women for running the other way? But they haven't done that. They've stuck around, and they've reclaimed the story. Women are more involved in religion. They take responsibility for passing on values to their children. And one of the things that they've done is they've looked at a lot of these lines, particularly, you know, quotes from scripture like you just had about from the New Testament, things that the early church fathers, things that Augustine did, trying to like make, you know, sex into something that's evil. And they have said, well, maybe that's something that was right for that time, but it's not right for our time. And so the women who have stuck around and rewritten these stories have said that there are some lines that we're going to respect. Maybe that's the way it was done now, but it's not how we're going to do it now. Religion is very changeable, and that's the reason it survives. And so, as I said, I think the reason that what I'm seeing here with the first love story, women are really rallying around this book in particular, bringing their husbands and partners and dating members and fathers and sons and whatever it is, and saying, let's have a conversation. Let's realize that even the struggles that we were having in balancing our relationship, Adam and Eve were happening, because you know what? Here's the thing. I just don't. What I say to you, don't just look in your phone. these stories have been around for 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years. There must be something, some timeless truth there. And I just don't want us to lose track of the Bible, even as we understand we live in a different time. But let's find the lessons in the past that are still relevant to today.
No, it's true. I saw some videos that Good Morning America put together of these couples, and it seems as if that when they got the message of this book, did you see sort of a tectonic shift when they understood the message behind this book? Those couples really seem to get that they're a team, that they're in this together. So how does that make you feel when you see that there's been already results and this book just came out?
I mean, I have been writing books for a long time, and I know how hard it is, and, you know, politics consumes us all, and I'm just overwhelmed. I mean, I almost said to Michael Strahan on Good Morning America and, to Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar and the whole team of the video, I mean, I was like, my goal is to, like, get to this without crying, because I'm incredibly moved, and I'm incredibly grateful. And you mentioned, so what we did was, reached out with some couple therapists, and we created this thing called Return to Eden, the Adam and Eve Guide to Improving Your Relationships. It's four sessions, guide that you can do with your partner, you can do with a group of partners, you can do with your church, whatever, your community group. And we just put this, the way to get it is you go to my website, which is brucefeiler.com, B-R-U-C-E-F-E-I-L-E-R, brucefeiler.com. You can download it. And we released this on Sunday night. We had 800 people in the first hour download this. There clearly is an appetite out there. We clearly are touching into something. And, you know, here's how I would, if I could put it into a sentence, here's the sentence that I would put. I'm a land person, and I have spent many years climbing Mount Ararat, crossing the Red Sea, tasting manna, you know, up and down mountains and dead seas, and been to 10 countries around the Middle East, looking for the role of the land in the Bible. And we talk about the land, promised land, promised land. Here's what I learned working on the first love story. There is promised love in the Bible as well as promised land. There is at the heart a relationship that works. And I think, you know, we look around, reality television, celebrities, couples breaking up, relationships have become a commodity, and we've lost sight of the fact that relationships are sacred, and our first relationship is a long slog, but it is a success. They come together at the end and have Seth. Seth creates us all. So there is promised land as well as promised love, and that's where I'm looking at my 12-year-old and saying, that's where I'm looking at you and saying, that's what I'm looking at who's been married a long time or someone married 40 years. What you're doing is hard, but what you're doing is matters.
Yeah.
Adam and Eve started it. Theirs is the first love story. Theirs is the story we need today.
Yeah. Amen to that. So the name of the book is The First Love Story, Adam, Eve, and Us. And your website, Bruce, is brucefeiler, F-E-I-L-E-R.com. And people can go there to get that video series, right?
They can get the video. They can get the discussion guide. They can order the book. And you can email me directly. You can email my wife and find out what she agrees with. So, you know what? Come on this journey with me, folks. If you care about you want to deepen your relationship, if you want to remind us that we all need love, if you want to appreciate the Bible in a way you never have, come on this journey. I think you'll be surprised. You'll learn a few things. You'll have a blast. In the end, you'll be uplifted because the first story was a success, and we can continue to replicate that. Thank you, guys. What a pleasure.
Thank you, Bruce. It was great to have you on. Thanks for joining us. This is The Patriot and the Preacher. That was Bruce Feiler, the author of The First Love Story, Adam, Eve, and Us. We'll be right back.
But there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless.
Mr. President, welcome to the show.
I love the name of your show. I will be a good Christian. You're going to be very proud of me, and I certainly will also be a good patriot. It's a great name for a show. I heard you have a great show, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Mr. Trump. We appreciate that very much, and it has been an honor to have you on the show. And we're back with the Patriot the Preacher. We want to thank the president for those nice comments. Hey, Ben, I've got something that is going to blow your mind. Are you ready?
Whip it on me.
All right, here we go. So, you know how the liberals, you've said this before, they've come into education, they've come into the media. Well, you know, Superman has thought of, you know, he's a superhero, and he fights for truth, justice, and the American way, right?
Yeah. Now, don't tell me you're going to mess with Superman.
Okay, well, they've messed with Superman. Are you ready for this? This is from this is from the DC Comics website, okay? All right. Superman, Now, listen, everybody, because you're going to notice some things are missing. Remember, I said truth, justice, and the American way. A universal icon, Superman means different things to the many diverse people he inspires. Are you ready? He's an alien, an immigrant from a faraway land, just looking to help, a country boy fighting the never-ending battle for truth and justice. They left out the American way. And recent comics have truly spotlighted his role as the people's hero, following the neophyte Man of Steel, still learning his powers, limits. Superman fights the evil corporate tycoons and corrupt one percenters. So Superman has become a political figure, Ben.
Well, he did come here illegally, you know, because
so if that wall was up, he might not have made it here. So there you go. Superman is, well, he's a super illegal alien, I guess. I can't even believe that. That is what's wrong with this country. It's a great example. And so just to top it all off, as we close out this show, we're really excited about our guests next week. But remember that the former DNC interim chairman, Donna Brazile, remember her, Ben? Well, okay, she's got a lot to say. And here's what she's got to say about her giving questions in advance to Hillary Clinton. She says, listen to this, that she was, by doing so, she was advancing the cause of justice by giving...
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course, because she wanted to see a woman pushed to the top, and so that was the only way you could get justice is to cheat, to lie. That's the only way, right?
That's the only way. That's right. Listen to this. It gets even better. Now, the WikiLeaks version is the Russian version. That's what she's saying. My own version is that had you saw my emails to Bernie, you would have known that I was communicating with Bernie Sanders, just as much as I was communicating with Hillary, because that's what you do.
Well, you see, Mark, that's why you and I in politics, we probably wouldn't make it in politics, because we'd go up there trying to be honest and abiding by the principles of the Constitution and truth, justice, and the American way. And so we probably wouldn't make it, would we?
No, we wouldn't make it. And that's why I've told many people, said it on the air before, I'll never run for office. But I want to point this out one more time. The WikiLeaks version is the Russian version. My own version. See, Ben, they have been pushing this version about the Russian interference, and it's a false flag, isn't it? It's a false flag.
Yeah.
That the Russians have nothing to do with the outcome of the election. And as a matter of fact, we know from what Wayne Allen Root said, and I pointed this out as well during the interview, the Russian connection is on the Democrat side, not our side.
Now see, that's typical Republican strategy. Blame the Democrats.
Yeah, I know. There I go again. All right, you know, as I've said before, I know why he put Obamacare in place, because my blood pressure goes up every time I talk about him. Therefore, I need health care. Yeah.
You got it.
All right. So we want to thank everybody for joining us. The Bennett brothers are going to join us next week, and we have a surprise guest. So everybody's got to stay tuned for next week. We have a surprise guest that's going to join us, Ben. I'm keeping it from you, because it's a big surprise.
Okay. I'm going to be surprised. Okay. I'm going to be surprised, and I'm going to be right here.
All right. So as we always do, we're going to close the show out with a prayer for our nation and our listeners. Ben?
Father, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for who you've made us, and we thank you for the privilege and the honor and the responsibility of living in the United States of America. We ask for your continued blessings on this great country. We pray for wisdom for our leaders. We pray for insight and understanding to the real challenges being faced by the American public. And we thank you for the people in this great country who worship and serve you. And we give you the praise for it all. In Christ's strong name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I want to thank all of you for joining us. We're going to be back next week with another great group of guests. And in the meantime, keep praying for this nation We need to pray for this nation now more than ever. I'm Mark Anthony, your patriot.
And I'm Ben Kinsel, your preacher. Shalom, shalom, God bless.
God bless, and God bless America. Thanks for joining us.